How are we doing this beautiful Sunday morning? That's great. I'm excited to be with you guys today. First and foremost, I want to start off by welcoming anybody who is new here. Welcome to Church Unlimited. We hope you feel right at home here. We are glad to have you with us today. I also want to welcome you for joining us online or via any of our campuses. And of course, last but not least, those who are joining us through our prison ministry. Welcome. We're glad to have you guys here with us too. I'm excited to jump into God's word today. I want to jump in with you, but before I do, I just want you to know how excited we are for this next season for our church coming up. As you guys may have heard, next week is a very big series for us known as At the Movies. We do it every year, and the reason we do it is because, number one, we love it, but number two, it's the perfect excuse for you guys to go out and invite people and get them in the church. And so I'm excited. I'm also excited because you guys will be getting to hear from Pastor Bill again next week. So you only got one more week with me. So we are really fired up. Can we start by saying our mission statement together as our church? Our mission statement here at Church Unlimited is to take as many people to heaven as we can before we die, period. That's what we are about here. I'm excited to get into God's word today. I want to jump into 1 Samuel 13, 19 through 22. And as I was preparing this week, I told myself, I'm going to try my best to stay calm and collected. Try my best to not get fired up. I get told that a lot, you know. You know, you really get going. Sometimes you could. I want to apologize to our production team. The production team, can we give it up for them, by the way? I have this bad habit of trying to out-yell the speakers, and it doesn't matter no matter how loud I get. They can just slide me down. So they're saving your ears every Sunday. But I am excited to get into God's word. They say, like I said, I'm going to try my best, but no promises. I know it's early in the morning. But they say, a teacher tells it and a preacher yells it. Amen? Amen. Let's jump in. 1 Samuel 13, 19 through 22. Text says this. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, quote, lest the Hebrews make themselves swords or spears. But every one of the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen his plowshare, his mattock, his axe, or his sickle. The charge for this was 2/3 of a shekel for the plowshares and for the mattocks, and 1/3 of a shekel for the sharpening of the axes and for setting the goads. They still had to pay, and they didn't even have their own blacksmiths. So on the day of the battle, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people of God, but only Saul and Jonathan. Jonathan and Saul were the only two to have swords in their hands. What we see here is, in this text, is a moment in which Israel is rising. But as they're trying to rise, they have a newly appointed king who's not gone off the deep end yet, Saul, doing the best he can. They're being oppressed through the Philistines, and the Philistines have removed the blacksmiths from Israel. I want to talk to you from this subject today, that it's time to open up the blacksmith shop. It's time to open up the blacksmith shop. Now, family, I don't know what it was like for you growing up as a kid. For me, I believe I was a part of that last wave of the generation that would still go outside to play with their neighborhood friends. I believe I was like the last wave of that. Some of you can relate. Some of you have kids, and you probably tell them all the time, when I was a kid, I would go outside and play. So I don't know if you had this rule, but my rule growing up is when the street light came on, that's when it's time to go inside. Anybody remember those days? And so we would have all types of adventures and play all types of games just with other kids in the neighborhood. And we had a lot of fun. Some days it was just riding bikes. Some days it was, you know, just giant games of hide and seek. But something that was really fun is whenever we would all get together and we would just have these giant water gun fights in the neighborhood. And as time went on, water guns were cool and all, but eventually these things called Nerf guns came out. So we needed to upgrade. Nerf guns were fun, but after Nerf guns got old, we decided, I don't know what it is about boys, but if it doesn't hurt a little bit, it's just not fun. So we decided we need airsoft. That sounds fun. So then it was airsoft, and I thought that was it. That was the peak of it all. Well, I had this one friend who had a birthday coming up, and he told us, hey, this is great, but for my birthday, we're going to go paintballing. I remember thinking, let's go. I'm excited. How bad could it hurt? So we go paintballing, and we're having a really fun time. And it was my buddy, and he had his dad there, and some of his friends showed up. And it was me and all my friends, and we were having a good time celebrating his birthday. And then his dad had this idea. Hey, why don't, we're going to end the day. It's the last run of the day. Why don't we split it up, the dads versus the sons? And you know us, we're like, yeah. Idiots. Let's do it. We can finally be, you know, every, you know, 10-year-old kid's like, one day I'm going to get my dad. No, you're not. And so we have this brawl, and I kid you not, we kind of forgot something important, that they were just bigger, faster, stronger than all of us, but also smarter. And my friend who's having the birthday party, he has one dad who has actually he does paintball a lot. And not only that, he's also ex-military. So we're going up against these guys, and once the match starts, two of my buddies are out. I'm talking across the field. Boom, boom, they're just out. I'm like, what is going on? So now the match keeps on going, and one by one, it's just like we just fall down. I'm out. Now I'm out. I'm out. Now, what I failed to, I should include this. I should have some integrity. When I got hit the first time, I cried. But we have masks on, so nobody else knows that. Nobody else knows that. And so I'm at a point now where I'm seeing all my buddies getting out, and I'm one of the last ones. I'm contemplating just rubbing some paint on myself and saying, I'm out. Well, my buddy, my friend's dad, who was ex-military, done a lot of the paintball stuff, I was one of the last ones left. He starts rounding this corner, and I'm hiding for my life. I'm hiding, and his back is to me. He's turning this corner. His back is to me. I'm like, this is my opportunity. I can be the hero. I can save the day. And so as I line up my paintball gun to get a shot on my buddy's dad, they failed to mention that some of the paintball guns didn't always work. So I pull the trigger and nothing's happening. And you can hear me like starting to panic, pulling the trigger, nothing's happening. This is enough time for my buddy's dad to turn around. He sees me, and boy, did he light me up. Lit me up. He said, you should have taken the opportunity. I was like, I tried. Lit me up. So next thing you know, we're slicing cake. I'm keeping my mask on a little longer so my red eyes can go away. Mason, you want any cake? No, I'm good. I'm good. So we're having cake. We have a good time, and it was great, and it was fun. I kid you not, I will not go paintballing today. I will not do it. Nope, it left too big of an imprint on me. Not doing it. And I share that story because it's fun, it's funny, but I learned a valuable lesson that day that I believe applies to us now. I actually believe this lesson applies to us now more than ever, as a nation and as God's people. And the lesson that I learned that day is that the lack of a weapon or an inferior weapon will cost you the fight. The lack of a weapon or an inferior weapon will cost you the fight. And what we see in the narrative we just read is that Israel is seeing a shortage of weaponry. Israel does not have blacksmith shops anymore. Israel doesn't have blacksmith shops, which means they have no more fire. And because they have no more fire, they're not producing the weaponry needed for them to conquer and win this holy war. What good is a nation with no weaponry? What good is a blacksmith shop with no fire? What we see happening in the nation of Israel here in this passage is something that I believe the enemy is trying to do to us today. I believe that this picture of a blacksmith shop is also a picture for God's church today. I believe the church should have the hottest fire. I believe the church should have the most passionate believers. I believe the church should be forging and building the sharpest weapons and equipping the greatest soldiers so that they can go out and take ground for the kingdom of God. I believe the blacksmith shop is a picture for the ministry. I believe it's a picture for how believers should carry themselves today. 1 Samuel 13, 19 says that there was no blacksmith shop to be found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, quote, lest the Hebrews make themselves swords or spears. This was strategic. This was on purpose. The Philistines were so advanced, but they were also strategic. When we think Philistines, we think Goliath. We think big, dumb giant. But that's not the Philistines. The Philistines were very formidable. They were technologically advanced. They were strategically advanced. They would adopt things from other societies and make them better. That's the Philistines. The Philistines were masters of war. And so the Philistines said, here's an idea. If we just neutralize the blacksmiths, then they won't have weaponry. If we just take out the blacksmith, if we close down the blacksmith shops, then they won't have the fire to fight back. And I believe the enemy today is trying to do the same thing. If we can just get the fire extinguished in the churches, then they won't stand up for what's right anymore. If we can just get the fire extinguished, if we can get them talking about things that really don't matter, then no one's going to stand up for the things of God anymore. The point is simple. No blacksmith shop means no weapons. If there's no blacksmith shop, if there's no fire, then there's no weapons to make things happen anymore. And I believe this is a wake-up call for us today that we need the blacksmith shop open once again. We need a fire. It's time to open up the furnace. We can't afford to just talk about things that make us feel comfortable and make us feel good. Sometimes you should step into church and the pastor should step on your toes a little bit. Sometimes there should be a fire and you think, ooh, that's hot, but I needed it because it refined me. Sometimes you need a fire to break out within the churches. We need to open up the blacksmith shop again. Church is not a self-improvement seminar we come to every week. Church is not the first part of your brunch date. Church actually plays a very strategic role. The church is established for many reasons. The church, number one, it helps us reach others. The church also is an outlet for us to use our gifts to bring God glory. The church is also a place of corporate worship. How you live your life should be worship, but there's something special that happens when God's people come together for a sense of corporate worship. The church is also a place of community. It is all these things, but at the end of the day, the most important thing is the church is a blacksmith shop that is meant to equip believers with the sword. And we need the blacksmith shop to open up once again. We cannot afford believers with no fire anymore. We can't afford, we don't need TED Talks telling us how to maximize our summer. We need to know how to live and walk as Christians, how to carry the cross. And we have, I can't tell you how many times I see it where people say, I'm just a believer. I don't really care about all that stuff. They see all these things happening in the world, all this nonsense, all this worldliness. Oh, I don't have a stance on that. You better get a stance on that, because I don't know about you. I don't know how you read this and not have something stir up inside of you. I don't know how you read this and not feel activated to see change happen. We need the blacksmith shop open again. Open the furnace. Holy Spirit, do have your way. That's what we need in this place. That's what we need in our cities. That's what we need in our schools. We can't afford to have no more fire. I gotta calm down. This is what's so sneaky about the Philistines. Israel had no blacksmiths. But notice how the Philistines made sure that the doors to their blacksmith shops were still open to them. Watch this. 1 Samuel 13, 19 through 20. Yes, verse 19 establishes there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all of Israel. But look at verse 20. It says, but every one of the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen his plowshare, his mattock, his axe, or his sickle. So Israel was put in a tough spot. They don't have their own fire. They're forced to go to the Philistine fire. They're forced to partake in the Philistines' blacksmith shops. They don't have their own, so they have no choice, or they feel as though they have no choice, but to go to the Philistines. Well, if I want to live life, I got to go to the Philistines. And if I want to just be left alone, just leave me alone. I don't want to be canceled. I don't want anyone to hate me for my stance on things. I better just go with the ways of the Philistines. And so they have no choice but to go to the Philistines. Now, this is what's crazy. Because they neutralized the blacksmith shop, they didn't just neutralize their ability to fight wars. That also neutralizes their ability to farm, to have cattle, agriculture, do jobs well. It affected everything. This was not just a suppression of their military, it was a suppression of them as a people. You want to live life to the fullest, you're going to have to do it the Philistine way. You're not going to get to speak up and have your own fire. You're going to have to come to our fire. And I'm sure every day they hated having to go get their weapons sharpened or their tools sharpened by the very people who took away their own blacksmith shops. Because the enemy wants you to compromise what you stand for. The enemy specializes in making you feel as though you have no choice but to compromise. But the truth is, if you read the narrative, you eventually learn that despite the Philistines having the fire, Israel has something hotter than a fire. And it's God himself. And God says, do not believe that lie from the enemy. You do not need to rely on their fire or their blacksmiths. I'll equip you. I'll be the fire you need. If you get on my side of history, you get on my side of the fight, I'll make sure that things work out for my glory and for my good. I'm here to tell someone today, don't compromise. That is a lie from the enemy. Don't do things the way the Philistines do. Do things the way God intended them. Everyone's thinking, well, everyone's doing drugs, so maybe I should just compromise. Then I can have some friends at least in high school and in college. Everyone else is doing it, so maybe a little bit of compromise. Well, everybody else is not really waiting until marriage, so maybe I can just compromise because we plan on getting married later. Everybody else is doing this way. Not everybody tells the truth all the time. So maybe a little embellishment is okay. And the enemy wants you to feel as though you have to compromise, but that is a lie from the enemy. The blacksmith shop will open again. God's fire will rain down in Israel again. We got to open the furnace again. We got to have the church needs a fire in it again. We need believers on fire again. We can't be stale. We need fire in the blacksmith shop. 1 Samuel 13, 20 through 21 goes on to show us something else that the Philistines do that's so sneaky. It says, every one of the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen his plow, his mattock, his axe, or his sickle. And the charge was 2/3 of a shekel for the plowshares and for the mattocks, and 1/3 of a shekel for the sharpening of the axes and for the setting, and for setting the goads. So they were given, they were built inferior weapons on purpose, and they were still charged for it. The Philistines were advanced, and because they were advanced, they actually were leading the way in metalwork. Their armor and their weaponry was actually not bronze like everybody else's. Theirs was iron. So if you know anything about metalwork, you know that iron is significantly stronger than bronze. So they have the ability to give them iron, and they charge them as though they're giving them iron, but they give them bronze. Catch this. They have the ability to give them iron, but they give the nation of Israel bronze anyways. So God's people are given inferior weapons, and it still costs them. And I see this time and time again. The enemy specializes in making what is inferior available. He specializes in making what is inferior available. The enemy wants to conveniently equip you and promise you with something that's strong enough to guard you, strong enough to equip you, to help you in battle. But when the going gets tough, it gets shattered. The enemy will equip you with relationships, and you pay for them, and it ends up being inferior. He wants to equip you with community that ultimately ends up being inferior. The enemy will equip you with a worldview, and will think, oh, I'm enlightened now, I see things for how they are now, and ultimately you will learn that if it doesn't line up with God, it's ultimately inferior. The enemy will sell you bronze, but charge you for iron. He'll sell you an inferior mindset. He'll make you believe that you have a victor mindset, but really it's a victim mindset. And he'll charge you anyway. He will charge you for things that are inferior. But with God, you will still pay for it. With God, you will still sacrifice. With God, I'm not here to tell you that everything's going to be perfect all the time. With God, there will be struggle and it will cost you. But make no mistake, it will not be inferior. With God, it will cost you, but it will never, ever be inferior. At least it won't be weak. At least it won't be flimsy. What he equips you with is stronger than any bronze. What God equips you with is stronger than any iron. Because if it was crafted by God, it was crafted by the perfecter. If it was crafted by God, it was crafted by the Alpha and the Omega. What he wants to give you is always going to be superior than anything that those Philistines could give you. Anything that the world could give you. God is going to craft you something perfect for the fight he has for you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost, but at least it's not inferior. At least it'll stand the test of time. At least it'll work when you need to depend on your faith can come through in times where nothing else of the world can. At least it won't be inferior. We need the fire back in the blacksmith shop, and we need the fire back on us. I'm going to close with this. The Philistines were able to forge iron. Most of the world, specifically in this region especially, no one else could forge iron. They were stuck with bronze. Here's what's so heartbreaking about this. Iron requires far more heat to build or mold or forge than bronze ever will. So let me get this straight. Iron requires more heat than bronze, but the Philistines had access to iron. What does that tell me? That means that the nation filled with the wicked and the worldly somehow had a hotter fire than God's people did. And it breaks my heart because we see this today. We see the world have more fire over things that ultimately will not matter than we as believers have today. I see a world with more fire and passion in worldly things than I do people who have a fire and passion for his church. I see people who have more fire in their politics than they have for their faith. I see people who have more fire in their hobbies and their businesses than they do in their spirituality and in the kingdom of God. I see people with more fire about what's trending than things that are actually going to stand the test of time for all eternity. I see people who have more fire about all kinds of worldly agendas. But what would happen if the Christians got a hold of the fire? But what would happen if God said, you've been gone, you've been out of the fire for so long, maybe I needed you to realize just how much you need it, and I'm gonna spark a fire in you today. You've been missing the fire for too long, but I'm gonna put a fire on this nation again today. It's time to open up the blacksmith shop. We don't just need the fire in here, we need the fire out there. We should be walking around everywhere. When people see you, they see a glow on you. They see flames on you. They say, you look like Jesus today. Something's different about you. We need the fire in our churches and in God's people all over again. We need a fire. And I don't know about you, but I can feel a fire stirring. I feel a fire stirring. I think a fire is due. I think we'll see a wave that we've never seen before. I think I know this, what I'm seeing in my generation with the next generation. There's a fire, parents. Do not let what you see on the media and on the news make you feel like the next generation is lost. It's not. This generation is hungry, and there's going to be a revival that breaks out. Because I promise you, this generation hasn't thrown in the towel, so why should you? A fire is going to break out. I hear freedom in Jesus coming. I smell flames burning. A fire is coming. I'm going to close with this. The church is due for a fire again. It's due for a fire again. It's impossible to be in community with God and not have it overflow out of every area of your life. Every area. So when I hear people say, well, I try to divide like my spirituality versus my views on this. How? How? When does Jesus ever affirm that? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Everything should be affected by my relationship with Jesus. We need a fire to break out. Next week, we start our biggest series of the year. Biggest series of the year. At the movies. And the reason it's big, I understand a lot of us like live preaching. The reason At the Movies is big and it's successful is because we view it as an outreach opportunity. That's what we view it as. It's an outreach opportunity. So we can be mad, oh, I only like to watch Pastor Bill live. We have campuses that don't watch him live ever. And we love you for that. But it is an opportunity for you to invite people and get some more raw materials in the blacksmith shop. That's what this is about. You're going to be given these invites today, and they're not just invites. Please don't look down on this. Oh, we're doing this again. We're doing this again. I promise you, God can do something drastic by simply passing this on to somebody else. There can be life change that happens. A fire is ready to break out. Don't be the one who quenches it. That's all this is. This is an opportunity. It's really a golden opportunity to pass on an invitation and give God some more materials to build the sharpest weapons. The sharpest weapons for his kingdom. There's a story in the Bible. There's a story in the Bible of a man named Samson. And during this arc of Samson's story, there's one particular part where you will notice Samson sees a field of wheat. It's an enemy's field of wheat, and he decides to take these foxes, and what he does is he lights the foxes' tails on fire, and he lets the foxes go into the field, and the foxes are running like crazy because their tails are on fire. The foxes are setting everything they touch in the field on fire, everything they run by, everything they walk by. As they're running, trying to put out the fire, they're actually spreading the fire. Samson lets them run loose, and everything catches fire. What would happen today if a fire got a hold of us, and whenever we leave this church, every person we encounter, every person we talk to, anyone we have an encounter with, they feel that fire and they say, you know what? I'm going to take you up on that invitation, and I need God in my life, so I'm going to come with you to church next week. What would happen if we were like those foxes and we just spread the fire? It's time to open the furnace again. We need to open up the blacksmith shop. So church, my prayer for us today is that we're no longer timid or passive, and we don't let the world have a hotter fire than us. So Father, we pray today. Lord, we pray that there's a fire lit within us. Set a fire in our souls, Lord. Let this be a spark, God. Lord, we need the fire in our churches. We need a fire in the hearts of us as believers again. Set a fire in us, God. Holy Spirit, have your way with us, God. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Father, we just want to be your vessels and your tools used to help fight in this war. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. If you would like to start a relationship with Jesus, we want to give you an opportunity to do so right now. See, a long time ago, God created everything and it was perfect. But leave it to Adam and Eve to bring sin into the world, and everything was ruined. Sickness, darkness, sin, disease brought into the world. But there is good news. God sends his son Jesus to live a perfect life, and he then dies a brutal death to atone for your sins and for mine. And if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do so right now by praying this prayer with us out loud. So if that's you today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, would you just pray this prayer out loud with us as a church? Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I admit I'm a sinner. And I believe you came and died for me. I believe you rose again 3 days later, proving that you were God. Jesus, I repent of my sins. Jesus, I make you my Lord. Jesus, I make you my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around right now. But if you just made that decision today, we just want you to raise that hand. Just raise that hand up high if you made a decision to accept Jesus Christ. No one's looking around. Let us know about that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The refining just started. The furnace has been opened. Thank you, Jesus, for these people. Hold that hand high. No one looking around. Please respect this moment for those who made that decision. Campuses, hands are going up in all of our campuses. Hands are going up all over this worship center. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you made that decision online today, let us know about it by raising that hand in the chat, because we want to love on you and reach out to you as well. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you so much for what you've done in this place. Lord, we pray that today is a little different. We pray today we walk out of here with the fire on us, like the foxes with tails on fire. Just everyone we encounter, they just notice a flame on us, a glow about us. Lord, we want to open up this blacksmith shop again. We're believing you're going to cast a fire in your church all over again. Father, help us to go out into the world and be your vessels. It's in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.